Well, it's a great pleasure to come to the 10:45. I'm usually a 9 o'clocker, and it's really nice to come and see. For one thing, it's nice to see so many people. I was astonished when I came in to see a church so full. I obviously haven't been to 10:45 for some time, and not realized how much this congregation had grown. So that's very good news. I'm going to talk actually about the Old Testament reading. I mean, I think some people find the Old Testament passages that we get set really quite difficult to relate to, that they seem to be difficult to see quite what was happening in Old Testament times. And more importantly, it's sometimes difficult to relate it to our experience here and now. So what I'd like to do is to take this passage from Ezekiel, which is kind of difficult, and see how we might relate it to our position in this country in the 21st century. Well, the text I've taken is the first verse from our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel 33:7. I have made you a watchman. I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So we have to think about what it's like to be a watchman. It's actually quite a hard job. For one thing, a watchman may feel rather lonely. If you imagine the watchman perhaps being an overnight watchman, everyone else is asleep. They're struggling to keep awake because they're the ones who actually have to spot danger. It also might be difficult because you can get unpopular. People don't necessarily like being warned of problems, especially if you tell them that it's something to do with their behavior which is causing this danger. You also run the risk of calling wolf. I mean, there is one problem with being watchman is that if you warn people of something and it doesn't happen, they won't believe you next time. What's very evident in this reading, too, is that the responsibility of the watchman can weigh quite heavily on them. It's said in this passage, after all, that if Ezekiel didn't call the attention of the Israelites to their danger, then he would be responsible for what happened to them. So being a watchman is quite a frightening thing to be. Ezekiel in the story is warning about the coming of the Babylonian army, which is going to destroy the city of Jerusalem and burn it to the ground. This happened in 586 BC. It's God's judgment on the wickedness of the people of Israel. They'd set this watchman, or God had set the watchman, Ezekiel, but they'd not been listening to what he was saying. Well, that all happened a very long time ago, 2.5 millennia ago. But nevertheless, I think that we can see in the role of the watchman something which is very much needed in today, just as it was then. It can resonate with our experience today. But I think it's important to recognize a difference between God's role in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the consequences of their action are reflected in this life. That's to say that if the people of God are not behaving properly, he will punish them with defeat in warfare, with pestilence, with famine. We in the New Testament think more about the day of judgment at the end of time, that God is, as it were, saving up the consequences of his justice until the second coming of Christ. But in the Old Testament, the emphasis is on the here and now, and I think that that is actually still of importance to us. Although the main message we may want to give to people about judgment does refer to the end of time, there are things that we can say and that we should be saying about the consequences of the way people behave today. So let's begin with the one which is perhaps uppermost in our minds, thinking about the role of a watchman or a prophet. What about global warming? Global warming is a fact. The future of it is more controversial, but there's no doubt that global warming is happening, and it's bringing about all sorts of consequences. It's bringing about the melting of the ice cap. It's bringing about a rise in the sea level. And of course, it's bringing about the increased frequency of extreme weather conditions of the sort that we've been hearing about with such sorrow on the news media in the last week. And I think whilst the climate scientists who are bringing this news may not realize that they're acting as prophets on behalf of God, I think, in fact, we should see them that way. That this is, if you like, God has set up the world in such a way that if we are over-extravagant, particularly in our use of fuels, there are consequences for us, or in, perhaps not for us, then for future generations about which we care. So I think that there is a role for a present-day Ezekiel drawing attention to the consequences of our extravagant living, and that this is something which we all need to bear in mind in the way we live our own lives as well. But it's not just about physics, it's not just about climate, it's also something about the way we live as a society. One of the messages of the prophets again and again of the Old Testament is that society is not fair to the people at the bottom of the heap. That society is divided between the rich and prosperous and the poor, and that society is not reflecting God's will for the unity and cohesion of his people. So that we need to say to the society in which we live is that God has certain views as to the way in which we should react to with one another, and that if we don't actually keep to these ways of life, there will be social consequences for that too. I think, incidentally, if you've been following in the news recently, the Archbishop of Canterbury has been very much echoing this thought in some of the things he's been saying just in the last week or so. When the differences in income levels become too wide, social cohesion will begin to break down. Also, if the social security system is not providing an adequate safeguard for standards of living, then we should not be surprised if some kinds of crime increase. And moreover, we should also remember that if some people feel that they are excluded from the society in which we live, perhaps because of their race or their nationality, and they will then be attracted towards extreme political positions. And in a way, this is the way in which God's judgment is actually brought on the society in which we live. So the social scientists, too, may be, in their warning us of these consequences, they may, too, be speaking on behalf of God. The injustice in society, which we recognize, is causing God anger and pain. So God's watchmen need to be warning against the consequences of oppression, corruption, exclusion, and neglect. But also, inevitably, if we were thinking of Ezekiel's message to today, we must remember what he had to say about the decline of religious life in Jerusalem. The people of Israel were turning away from their God-given laws and the God-given way of life, and they were living like the pagans amongst whom they were settled. There were even some who were involved in pagan worship, which included human sacrifice. Now, I'm not suggesting that our society is moving in that way, but it is very much a matter of concern, the growth of the number of people who describe themselves as non-religious. The social attitude survey, which was published, showed now that 53% of the population call and say they have no religion. That is now a majority of people who are irreligious. And we need to think, and we need to reflect in this prophetic spirit about what that might mean for the society in which we live. It does seem to me to be inevitable that a decline in religion threatens the foundations of morality, social morality. Because although there are, of course, many very good people who do not believe in God, it's nevertheless the case that an atheist doesn't have the same incentive to be good as those who believe in a loving and just God. Think about the traditional teaching of the Christian religion in this country, the emphasis on the sanctity of life, human beings made in the image of God. This is a message we need to reinforce. And if that message does not get through, then people's attitude to the beginnings of life, the way in which we treat one another will certainly suffer. Another example would be attitudes to marriage. We believe that marriage is a holy, the gift of God to his creation. And again, society seems to be losing touch with what are ultimately the religious roots of our attitudes to marriage. So we should be worried about the basis of morality in a society in which faith is evaporating. I think, moreover, we need to think what this may be doing to the lives of individuals. I believe that religion comes naturally to us, and that we should be saying that if people turn their back on religion, they're behaving in a way which is not natural to us as human beings. Scientists are now claiming that there is actually a genetic basis for religious feelings, that, as it were, we were born with a capacity to address God, a capacity to relate to something way above us and our way of life, and that therefore people, that a failure in people's religious lives will make them unhappy, will make them, they find their life difficult and difficult to relate to one another. Of course, this is not our main incentive to preach the gospel. We preach the gospel to save people's souls. But we also need to draw attention to what this may mean in this life, as well as what it may mean in the life to come. People need to know that life has meaning other than the meaning they choose to give it, and people need to know that they are loved and cherished and forgiven by the God who rules the world. So, the voice of prophecy is not silent in our times, it's just that we're not often listening to it. And we still need to see the world as the prophets did, to see the world as it is in the eyes of God. And that this is a message we can get from looking back, right back into Old Testament times, when talk about God came so naturally to people, and they perceived everything that happened around them as being actually an expression of God's will. If you like, people read newspapers, looked at the, listened to news, and attempted to understand what God was speaking to them through us. I think we still need to do that. But I don't want to forget the ending of the reading from Ezekiel. It's not all about judgment, it's also about mercy. Remember what we heard in the closing verse of the Old Testament reading, verse 11. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel? So God doesn't want us to suffer the tragedies that might follow from neglect of his laws. He is indeed a God of judgment, and judgment is written into the structure of his creation. But he is even more a God of mercy and love. Sometimes it seems that God is obliged to punish us. God has devised a world in which the laws of nature and human behavior show that virtue is its own reward and that sin leads to suffering. But God actually takes no pleasure in it. God is not vindictive. God is not what we would say judgmental. God loves us, and it's because he loves us that he needs sometimes to discipline us, just like loving parents must discipline their children. Having drawn these boundaries, as he must, having laid down the rules, he has to enforce them. But he longs to forgive us. He longs that we, as individuals, as communities, and nations, might turn back, turn to him, and mend our ways. Let that then be our prayer, that we may all, individually and collectively as a society, hear the words of warning of today's Ezekiels and truly and earnestly repent of our sins and enjoy the blessed warmth and comfort of his mercy and his love. Amen.